like a woodpecker in a petrified forest. You know, just keep busy and look for opportunities.
That's shocking when you think about it.
But them's the breaks.
Oh, that is cruel.
What they gonna say now?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Here we go!
AM 770 KTT. What in the hell was that?
It's Super Mario.
Oh, was it? I haven't played in so long.
Here we go.
Hour number two, the 7 a.m. hour for your day after the eclipse. And if you're nice, I won't hide the sun today either. A lot of over-the-top stuff yesterday. I think we successfully mocked it. If you want to listen to the pretty brutal mocking of The View and Whoopi Goldberg correcting someone who thinks that the cicadas show up because of an eclipse or something. And then you can text APP to 800-465-8770.
Did you hear Mel Gibson chime in on the total solar eclipse yesterday?
Wait, is this a wacky comedy bit or did he really?
No, he chimed in.
Because, you know, in what was the book, Apocalypto? I mean, the movie.
Good movie, by the way.
Really? Underrated movie.
Yes.
When Mel is at his craziest, his movies are really good.
I concur.
Because he was at the height of his Mel craziness at that point. He was talking about how the rock was human sacrifice, craziness. Like the Incas and all. But anyway, he really chime in?
Yeah, here's what he said.
Because that was a big pivot point at the end of the movie.
I don't know if this is a local news outlet in Australia or L.A., but here's Mel Gibson's take on the lunar solar eclipse.
Give me back my son!
It was a wacky comedy bit. Okay, I got it. Let's get Russell Crowe on that one. But you want to hear something? And listen, I'm a friend of Fox News. Like them, watch them, have them on here, and. But I mean, give your brain a chance on this one, won't you please? Let me get to it here.
Give your brain
this.
A
this
chance.
Was 2 hours before the eclipse. Wait a minute, that's my bad. Totally my totes my bad.
Fox News alert: a rare celestial event collides with a policy failure on the ground. The southern border will be directly in the path of totality today when the moon covers the sun for nearly 4 minutes.
We are told that officials are bracing for higher traffic than usual, and that means a real opportunity for smugglers and cartels and migrants to come right.
I don't know. I mean,
well, they got about 3 or 4 minute window where it's totally black.
But they have that for 11 hours around 7 p.m.
Yeah, but those 3-4 minutes.
I mean, that's why, I mean, just reason that out and
bit of a stretch.
Yeah. So there's that. And I am trying to avoid playing Sonny Hostin from The View, connecting the cicadas with the earthquake last week and the eclipse to global warming.
Well, what about a flashback of Shepard Smith in 2017?
Is that when he was still on Fox?
Yes.
Okay.
Hilarious. He was not impressed by the eclipse 7 years ago.
So
total
this
eclipse of the sun watch 2017 on Fox News Channel. The excitement must be building and building like fireworks. If I put this here and my phone here, I have a total eclipse of the phone. Fascinating. It's amazing. Oh, my God. The moon has gotten in front of this. Okay, well, I don't know. It's interesting looking. The sun looks a little like the moon up there in my wall. If you mention it, you got to sing it. Where the deer and the antelope.
What the hell?
I said some sarcasm in his report.
That was close to the end with him.
That way, maybe he was kind of losing it.
Yeah, that was close to when, because now he's on News Nation or the Cottery Network.
He would like walk laps around the news studio and go from monitor to monitor to big screen to computer and just stream of consciousness.
So I'm really thankful that we didn't get really. I didn't notice anything, you know, because we got on this side of the Cascades. They had 20%. Eclipse in eastern Washington, we were out of that zone, so I'm glad. But I mean, because already we saw stupidity live on TV. You saw the nation's news anchors giving you live coverage of a shadow coming over me, and you'd think it's like the easiest thing to fake. You could take like an umbrella and make it move over David Muir's face, and even then. When the sun came back and they had the little glasses, they took the glasses off to look up.
Okay, but here's your word of the day.
Syzygy.
Syzygy, okay?
Syzygy.
A conjunction or opposition, especially of the moon with the sun.
It's when the sun, moon, and earth are in line.
Yeah, so the sun is actually about 400 times wider than the moon, but it's also about 400 times
farther
away. Three-body
problem.
If you don't find that some kind of profound spiritual meaning, I don't know what to tell you. That's incredible. You think that's just a cosmic coincidence?
I mean, it's an epic thing.
It's
and everything.
Unbelievable.
But I mean, I don't want to be backing up Whoopi Goldberg on this, but I mean, we can go backwards and we can check Herodotus' work for when he said 585 BC there was an eclipse that ended the Trojan War and all that. We can go forward and see that there's one later on this year. There's one in Spain next year. There's just not one in North America for 20 years. And if it didn't happen here.
Funny that in the modern age, we trivialize everything. I don't know if you watched any of the news media coverage yesterday, but on one network, they had two of their main reporters dressed up as a sun and moon.
No.
Like it was a Halloween costume, and they were laughing about it. And I just thought, you know, ancient civilizations looked upon the eclipse with like this great reverence, and, you know, they'd probably do human sacrifice. It meant something, and now it's kind of a joke. And it's just astounding to me that we make fun of it, and it's sort of silly when it is actually something kind of.
And I'll say, having seen the Oregon one in 2017, it is, as long as you do have your feet firmly planted in the modern era, it is easy to see how ancient people would attribute the end of God or the death of God or God punishing them from that. It's astounding because you just see a black disc move in front of the sun perfectly for a couple of minutes. And you'd start sacrificing kids. Speaking of the Punic Wars, I mean, like I say, the Carthaginians really thought that they lost the first go around with Rome because they didn't sacrifice enough kids. So they did that. That was like plan A back then. And my plan B is think of a second plan.
For the children.
They really did that. And that's where Gibson wasn't too far off. With the Aztecs and their wacky mysticism, because when Cortez showed up on horses, they thought it was one animal, you know, and the interaction like that. By that point, the Spaniards had pretty much figured out that the moon orbits around the Earth.
Give me back my son!
But the Aztecs had not. The Aztecs had not. And so when you do see that in real life, you're filled with an appreciation of astronomy. I would say that. Did I tell you about the amazing Yosemite Firefall thing?
I must know.
In late February, if you have the chance to do this, you must do it. Get a date, because in late February, there's a astronomical event where the sun sets directly west of a waterfall at Yosemite on the north rim of Yosemite. And so the long red rays of the last minutes of the sun shine directly on this waterfall. So here's what it does. In late February, it looks like fire is coming out the waterfall. It's astounding. Look at my Instagram feed, Brian Does Junk. And I took some advice from a professional photographer who said, go on the final day of February. The light is spectacular, and no one goes. And they open up the reservations for the first month. So I called my friends, the Meekles of Stillicum, and they flew down to Fresno. And we took the right park entrance, and we caught it. And it was amazing. And it was totally a lineup of coincidences that got us in that place. I'd never heard of it until that year. It was like 3 years ago. But I wasn't like looking for kids to sacrifice or anything like that. It was entirely predictable because they did it every year. But people putting some wacky mysticism on this is just, it's like when the Europeans interacted with the Aztecs and the Incas. Because, you know, when they assume that you're already a god, pretty much anything you fill in from then, and your hard shell, shiny armor. I'm being an eclipse hater like Charles Barkley last night. Did you watch the game?
I watched a bit of the first half, but I knew UConn was going to run away.
Yeah, and I didn't have a dog in either fight.
They were unstoppable this year.
And that freakishly tall Canadian guy, he's going to do great in the NBA, that 7'4" dude.
It was a contest between the bigs, large in part, last night.
Yeah, and they let him score and no one else score. So good strategy. And meanwhile, I had the Mariners getting blown out by the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays were supposed to be the Band-Aid.
Why are you trying to depress me in this second
hour? They were supposed to be the bounce back.
Dear Lord, our $300 million superstar is batting below 200. I don't care how early in the season it is. That's outright shameful. And then have you seen how ex-Mariners are doing around the league? Jared Kelnick, Mr. Country Road, take me home himself, is batting 579 for the Atlanta Braves.
And Teoscar went to the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, he's batting about 290. He's doing great.
On a great team.
Eugenio Suarez is playing for the Diamondbacks, batting 316 with 7 RBIs.
So for another year, the Mariners are the only AAA farm team in the Major League Baseball.
It's unbelievably depressing, and we're only a couple weeks in. Of course, they have time to turn it around, but boy, have they stumbled out of the gate.
I wish I had student loans, because, look, I found a bunch of money. The president went to Wisconsin announcing loan forgiveness for everybody unless you didn't go to college and you're just working for a living. You're going to have to, here in a few days, send a check to the IRS, and part of that will be peeled off. And that is what it is. It's just a blatant vote purchase, because they're cratering in the polls with young people, and they're losing to Trump. They're losing young people to Trump. And they keep saying, actually, a crime is down. Actually, cost of groceries are down. And I'm sorry, I paid $4.99 this morning for my gasoline for my automobile.
That was probably fun.
And that's been parked around there for a couple weeks, I think. But don't worry, let's go to a spin doctor on this one.
Just think about what that means. Just like step back from that for a second. Republicans are suing over and over again in multiple states. Republicans are suing to make sure that Americans have to pay more in student loans. To make sure
that's how loans work, Rachel, my dear,
that you have to pay more interest to banks on your student loans. That is what they are offering America in this election year. Isn't that what America most needs for
people to read the conditions of the loan?
That's quite the spin
maybe
on Biden and Harris trying to buy votes shamelessly.
Yeah, I mean, because that is all it is. And I mean, I get it. You know, I understand, and they're shaming Trump for doing a victory lap on his three judges on the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, without batting an eye, they're just forgiving loans, and then it doesn't matter how well you've done with your professional degree or your big fat college diploma and all the money that's falling out of
it. The loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income, and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income, and even if you did not graduate.
Regardless of income. In other words, Elizabeth Holmes, okay, she dropped out of Stanford, and she was at Stanford on loans. So in other words, Elizabeth Holmes would be forgiven.
There you go.
And before she got nailed for fraud, she was on paper worth like $500 billion or million or something like that.
Just limited to what we have seen.
That's crazy. And so let's get into Know It All.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know It All. First thing.
But I'll tell you this, the holy stab, the eclipse stab is not going anywhere. So there's that. Well, here in the state of Washington, and here's a good need for it. Calhoun County judge ruled Washington's ban on high capacity magazines unconstitutional yesterday. But just minutes later, the state Supreme Court issued an emergency order, a stay, keeping the law in the books while the state appeals the decision. Superior Court Judge Gary Basher ruled that Washington's ban on the magazines, which hold more than 10 rounds, have been banned since 2022, violated both the Washington state and U.S. Constitution. Attorney General Bob Ferguson, after he wiped the sweat from his face, filed an emergency appeal to the state Supreme Court seeking to get the law back on the books, and it was granted. Now, here's the thing. This happened in California about 3 years ago. A Ninth Circuit court judge ruled the California high cap ban was unconstitutional. So, but it his ruling was on a Friday. The law was lifted on a Friday. And the attorney general at the time, I think was Javier Baqueria, couldn't get the stay until Monday. And so there was a crazy nationwide fire sale online because all of a sudden they couldn't, you know, Cabela's or whoever, it didn't say cannot ship to California. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was, you could not buy a magazine. They were out of stock because Californians were buying them. But on Monday, sure enough, the Democratic machine chimed in and put a stay on the ruling. And this is what they do, which is where it is right now. So in ruling the law unconstitutional, Cowlitz County Superior Court Judge Basher pointed to a 2022 U.S. Supreme Court decision, the Bruen, B-R-U-E-N decision, in which the court ruled 6-3 that gun regulations must be consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. And the judge wrote that the state needs to show a historical law from around the time of the Second Amendment's adoption that justifies its current regulation. The state shall make no law. So there's that one. And so we're going to stand by on this one. But I would just tell you, don't hold your breath on this one, because the AG who's, by the way, running for governor, is going to sit on this for a long, long time. And there's various maneuvers that they can make. Thing two. So here's the
second thing.
Here's, you know, the windmill I'm always jousting is the artificial market that law is being used to make for EVs. Because the demand is not out there. It's dwindling. From thehill.com. More Americans said in 2024 they would not consider purchasing an electric vehicle than in 2023, a new Gallup poll found. The poll found 48% of respondents said they would not consider buying an electric vehicle, up 7 percentage points than 2023. 35% said in the latest survey they might consider purchasing one. 9% said they were seriously considering it. 9%. And this is, and do you not know what's looming? They're going to regulate car companies into manufacturing more EVs that are not going to be bought by a public that doesn't want them. The Biden administration finalized a rule last month that could result in 56% of new vehicles on the market being electric in 6 years. By 2030, while the rule does not mandate a shift to electric, it makes the pollution standards so impossibly high that in order on an automaker's vehicle fleet, that would be challenging to meet without increasing the share of EV or other low carbon vehicles. So you see how they're putting their thumb on the scale there. They're making the gas powered car, such as I point to out there, so onerously expensive that you turn to the only alternative, the EV. But you've heard these stories that Ford and Chevy, their cars aren't even leaving Detroit because they're filling up the auto rows in every country, every city in America, in Fife and all that, the unsellable EVs. People don't want them because the infrastructure isn't there to make them make sense financially or time-wise, for one thing.
How dare you?
Totally. If she's on a Peloton powering the Charger, it's going to take all day. So it's just not there, and you can't make it there. And that's why the other snake was, there was almost an artificial hype for the Tesla Cybertruck. Everyone who thought it looked really cool and had $130,000 to drop on it got in line, and their resale value is plummeting. Just look on Craigslist for Tesla resale, and all the offers to take over someone else's lease are on there. The plants that GMC are closing are staffed with union UAW guys. They're not happy about this at all. The people that LG hired, because LG figured, well, let's make, they're paying us to make the batteries. Let's just do it there. And so the LG factory in Michigan is going to be canceled. because the demand for the batteries is gone.
You have stolen my dreams.
And Norway dropped a whole bunch of money into a battery factory in Norway, and it became so financially burdensome, they scrapped it, and they're building it outside of Atlanta, where it's equally now burdensome because there's no demand for the cars. There was plenty of pent-up demand when the Tesla Cybertruck finally hit the market late last year. It was hot property on launch by virtue of its unique and outlandish shape. Despite legal threats to restrict resales, they were soon getting flipped for immense prices. However, now that the hype has cooled down, the Cybertruck prices are crashing back to earth, and no one's darkening the doorstep of a Tesla showroom.
It's getting ugly, folks. There's no other way to put it.
Very bad scene. So that's thing two.
Third thing,
well, maybe, just maybe, if you throw enough money and maybe a nice, healthy apology to Seattle police, they may not all lateral to Kent or Renton or anywhere but here. And maybe, just maybe, you might get new officers applying and going through the process and getting to the academy. And then when they graduate, they don't get poached by Kent. They do actually show up back here in Seattle as Seattle, fully commissioned, fully functional, rookie Seattle cops.
Working without a contract for quite some time.
And it seems the city of Seattle and the Seattle Police Officers Guild have reached a tentative contract agreement. The mayor's office sent Fox 13 this statement, which read in part, "The tentative agreement we have reached with the union reflects a commitment to our charter responsibility to create a safe Seattle. We have focused on building an excellent police service through strong accountability measures and staffing, improving the recruitment and retention of officers through fair wages and benefits, as well as building out a comprehensive public safety response system by increasing options for civilian response."
I got to say, the ecosystem for being a cop in Washington with the short-sighted no pursuit rule and all that, plus, you know, this is the biggest department in the state, but it pays less than every department around here, and the noticeable loss in quality of life couldn't have happened to a nicer tax base. That's all I can say on that one. I have one of my friends cashed out. He, 3 years short of his retirement, he had enough time built up that he got to cash out. He couldn't get out of town fast enough. So anyway, guess where he went? Well, they just arrested a guy in Coeur d'Alene today for being an ISIS sympathizer. We'll give you that update. But that news breaking this morning that a 18-year-old in Coeur d'Alene was going to shoot up churches in northern Idaho. And I got to say, I don't think he really thought that went through. But regardless, he's in custody. I'll tell you the story about Mr. Mercurio. When we come back, thought he was talking to ISIS, like their online human rights counselor or something. No, talking to the FBI, because that's what they do. That and more when we come back. And Eclipse. Yep, still works. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Get the Squatters. That is one of the new, one of the three initiatives that our man, Jim Walsh, friend of the station, chairman of the Washington State Republican Party, got on the ballot. The chair of the state's Republican Party is attempting to get three more initiatives on Washington's November ballot. And he's also, as we all know, representative from Aberdeen. This is driving the new petitions have been the three most common topics: immigration, squatters on residential property, and efforts to phase out natural gas, which is stupid. They're real, he said. And even over the weekend, newly elected Republican from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, came out and because his family is a wealthy family, that owns property, and he said squatters are criminals. So that's it. There's nothing noble about what they're doing, and not all all human beings don't deserve a free house. It's not how life works, and or their loan forgiveness or whatever. But he called these issues real, denying that their efforts to stoke outrage to drive voter turnout. But even if they are, who cares? Don't even answer that question. We'll get him on tomorrow. Should we get him on tomorrow?
Sure.
All right. Well, he's a friend of the station. Yeah, he's been our friend and come down to some Freedom Series in Renton and others. And already today, some congressional hearing was interrupted by, hey, ho, ho, Genocide Joe has to go. And all that stuff. And this is really, you can see this is really bothering the White House. And it's bothering Nancy. Nancy can't sleep at night in her neighborhood because those hippies, so filthy hippies, are standing outside of her $10 million townhouse in Pacific Heights, and they're chanting things about Joe Biden.
The president has not said if they cross the red line in Rafah, what he would do. But I'll tell you what he has been doing, and people should know this, and especially try to say this to all the people in front of my house in the middle of the night and the rest. The mm-hmm. president has been
Boy, that sounds personal, doesn't it? I mean, it really does sound like she can't go out to a nice, clean, feces-free city and without being woken up.
All the people in front of my house in the middle of the night and the rest. The mm-hmm. president has been advocating for humanitarian assistance to the Palestinians. The Republicans in the House of Representatives have held it up. And yet...
total hogwash.
To hear these people go out there and say, oh, Genocide Joe, all that, not to repeat what they said, but nonetheless, he's the one who's been advocating for it. The House of Representatives has held that up, as you know.
And it's... the fact that they don't control Fox really pisses them off, because on Fox you're seeing in Michigan amongst Muslim Democrats, they're chanting death to America on a street in America. And you're seeing that on Fox and News Nation and things like that. Not a bit of it on MSNBC. Not a bit of it. And you heard there at the top of the hour that they're interrupting congressional hearings, and they get removed, and overwhelmingly Democrats, Code Pink, the rest of them, and so who's finally got a hard job. Is John Kirby, the adult in the White House press office.
Number one, you can't look at all the things that we've been doing for Israel since the 7th of October and suggest that we are somehow walking away from their ability to defend themselves. And frankly, in the call yesterday, the president made it very clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that we know they have a right and responsibility to go after that threat, and we're going to continue to help them do that. It's how they do it that matters. Because one thing that does strengthen Hamas's hand, Martha, is for them to capitalize on the imagery of civilian infrastructure and capitalize on the imagery that's out there mm-hmm. of innocent Palestinians being killed and wounded as a result of this conflict. So we want to get that ceasefire in place, temporary, 6 weeks or so, to get those hostages out, get more humanitarian assistance in.
So one, I would point to one failure on the part of the IDF and Netanyahu's government, and it's not continually hammering that this is the only civilian casualties are because Hamas is hiding behind them. Over and over and over and over. and that Israel is not, they don't have baby-seeking bullets or flesh-seeking bullets or whatever. Hamas hides behind these people. And that the Arab states surrounding Israel don't allow the Palestinians in. Egypt is literally adjacent to Gaza, but they don't want them in. I mean, they know this act over several decades, and only a few Americans are finally getting hip to the fact that now that the Israelis and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Kuwait and the Emirates are all making nice, because they all have a common enemy in Iran, they never were advocating to push the Jews into the sea. None of them just wanted the Palestinians in their country.
And here's some historical whiplash for you.
Pew!
Germany is being accused of genocide. Like the Michael Jordan meme, they took that personally. So Germany on Tuesday strongly rejected a case brought by Nicaragua at the UN and the top court accusing Berlin of facilitating breaches of the Geneva Convention and international humanitarian law by providing arms to Israel during its war in Gaza.
What? What do you say is this, Nicaragua? We will put you in camps and tattoo you.
Yeah.
For doing this to us. And that's Nicaragua, by the way, singing out the Iranian sheet of music that they were handed. Watch for Venezuela to second the motion or something. And by the way, do you see this genocide in the room with you now? Blink if it's true. Calling something a genocide doesn't make it a genocide. And you're telling Israel about genocide? Really? And here's my good friend Germany to tell you where you're wrong. On that. And I didn't know he was doing this, but, and I don't listen to his podcast, but I saw a clip where someone was explaining in his studio to Joe Rogan how it is that the IDF goes to extraordinary lengths to minimize.
Oh, the Coleman Hughes interview is spectacular.
Yeah. And for Rogan, to his credit, he said, I didn't know that. You're the expert. I didn't know any of that stuff. And It's crazy. The inability, for instance, of White House TV, of MSNBC, to reach out to someone who has any past experience or training with the control of modern military weapons in an urban environment and maybe get their opinion on this. There's a guy, John Spencer, who teaches at West Point, who is on Twitter, multiple author of modern warfare books, Connected Soldiers, a book about social media and modern warfare. Brilliant guy. He's at the Unconventional War podcast and is chair of the Urban Warfare Studies at West Point. And he's physically going around there and he's saying, look, I wish we had done this good in Fallujah in 2004. But don't bother talking to someone with the analogous experience on this. And also, I mean, you don't have to go to a Auschwitz survivor to certify that what's happening in Gaza is a genocide, because they'll say, well, where are the dogs? Where's the train cars? Where's the attempt to eliminate an entire ethnicity of people? And, it's not there. I mean, no more than we were genociding Fallujah. And again, I would ask, do you see this genocide in the room with you right now? And so, but CNN, I'm kind of surprised CNN is still putting up guests like this. Here's the actual mother of a hostage taken by Hamas on October 7th, still being held. And that's the other thing is, I would just say to all the hippies who are keeping Nancy up at night, where are you just telling Hamas to release the hostages? Why are you keeping Nancy up? She needs to sleep. Where is your demand? Where's your demand that Hamas release the innocent people that were violently taken from their homes?
And people should know this, and especially try to say this to all the people in front of my house in the middle of the night and the rest.
Maybe release the hostages. Try that one. But they don't like talking down to the Democratic kids like that. But this is the mother of a hostage still in Gaza. Believe it or not, this was broadcast on CNN, a sympathetic view of the Israelis.
Bringing the hostages back should be the top priority. It should be a world top priority. Everyone looking for de-escalation in the region should be opening the sentence saying, you know, release the hostages. You know, any sentence of any demand of ceasefire without release of hostages is a death sentence to them. As far as what's going on in Israel, you know, there's a broad range. Everyone feels that more needs to be done.
And it's a hard discussion with someone that close to the product. But there is a way, but Israel's not willing to do it. And it's empty their prisons of 6,000 Hamas guys in Israeli prisons. Would we send back a Panzer Division to Hitler? No, is the answer. And it's a time for hard choices and hard answers. Back in a second with more hard answers. AM 770 KTTH. a.m. Some 70 KTH brunch suits here, and boy, that Morgan Wallen is in trouble. He's a bad boy of country music, is what he is.
What did he do now?
You know, the thing with the chair at the cops and all that.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
Well, unless it helps your brand, and this is what people don't get. He's dropped by radio stations and his record label when viral social media video shows him using the hard R, using an N-word with the modifier, the hard R, as they say.
I'm not sure I want to live in a country where you can't throw chairs from a rooftop off a national bar.
It's not like he looked and was aiming at him. I mean, really, that would be my lawyer. And then they're shocked when his song is number one on Apple, you know, on Monday.
The chart-topping singer arrested after allegedly throwing a chair off of a six-story bar in the center of Nashville's bustling entertainment district early Monday morning. Police reviewed surveillance footage.
That surveillance video is gonna get you.
He shows Wallen lunging and throwing an object over the roof, the chair falling just a few feet from two officers standing below. Bystanders posting police carrying the chair later.
And here's the deal. He should, whatever minor archangel tipped that chair and made sure it didn't land on the cops, is owed a sainthood by him. Because doing something that reckless... you know, if he had really seriously injured one of the cops on duty by tossing a heavy lawn chair, it's like an outside eating chair off a six-story building.
That's not mine.
Worst case scenario, if it lands on a cop's head, they're not wearing helmets. They're just up patrolling, whatever it is, Nashville or Memphis, they're all the same, and killed him, then he'd be behind bars for manslaughter at the minimum. On this, but he's in a perfect business for getting clean and getting all the support and love he wants. And so, when is that Amy Winehouse tragicomedy or whatever it is coming out on Netflix? Have you seen that thing teased?
I've seen a documentary about her life previously. Is there something new coming out?
It's basically fictionalized Amy Winehouse. Final arc of her life coming out. They really did Amy Winehouse a favor with the actress that's playing her, because I don't know how you do makeup for paper thin skin because you're a drug addict.
She really was an incredible talent, though. But what happened to her?
What a mess at the end.
I related to what happened to Elvis. It was sort of a Colonel Tom Parker thing where her handlers sort of just pushed her and pushed her and pushed her to do as many shows as possible, work as much about, and she sort of drank herself to death, didn't she?
Yeah, and this weekend is the 30th anniversary of Cobain capping himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Over on their house there. By the way, do you remember
where you were when you heard the news?
I was at Rock 104, Modesto, California.
So you were on the air that day?
Yeah.
I was 11 years old. I was at a friend's house. My parents had MTV blocked at our house, so I had to watch it when I went out. And sure enough, Kurt Loder comes on the news. Kurt Cobain offed himself, and we were in total shock. But what a rude awakening to the dark and tragic world we live in at 11 years old.
Well, those of us in Rock
FM... Kurt Cobain shot himself in the face with a shotgun.
In FM rock radio, we were not in shock. He was a mess, and he was in the wrong business to get clean. And
he's been trending in that dark direction for a while.
Yeah, he was messed up for the first album, and the first album was phenomenal. Second album, phenomenal. They tried to clean him up. When Sub Pop couldn't handle him, Reprise, whoever it was, tried to clean him up, and that album tanked. So in the business, in the label, they're like, get him back on the junk, but keep someone in the jet with him. That is what they did with Amy Winehouse. And that's what I rather sense Morgan Wallen might have the same career arc. Though there's no talk of drugs with him. With country guys, they don't wear that. They don't wear it well, and they tend to drink. But in Cobain's case, he was a very flawed kid coming out of Grace Harbor or Hoquiam or whatever it was. Very flawed kid, very flawed personality who had success thrust upon him, and he was putting the pain away with drugs, and there was no one around him who could think about maybe being old enough to see his daughter. And he married the wrong person, many say. And so when that happened, It wasn't an overdose. But I mean, an overdose is kind of a suicide anyway, but it was actually a suicide.
Yeah, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, all part of
that. I'm going to leave a bunch of blank spaces because it'll keep happening.
Ill-fated 27 Club, all died at the age of 27 years old.
Yeah, and I do think that the music will be classic. It'll be sitting around, and we're already in, like my daughter and her best friend are in the nostalgia part of the comeback of Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all the grunge and the whole thing. And her friend is a really good mimic on a guitar, and so when the kid got into Nirvana, I was about to drop a name. I'm not going to drop the name, but anyway, I trolled her pretty hard because we posed at a party with a picture with Chris Novoselic, the bassist, but he's bald now. He's super tall and bald, so she didn't recognize him. And we posed and did a selfie, and hey, and then she posted on Instagram, and her friend sees that and goes, "What the what?" And she goes, "What?" And he said, "That's Chris Novoselic, the bassist from Nirvana." And he goes, "Oh yeah, it's a friend of my dad's."
One of my favorite concert memories of all seeing Paul McCartney for the first time back when the stadium was called Safeco Field. This was 2014.
Paul McCartney?
Either before the encore or during the encore, he brought out all the surviving members of Nirvana. The bass player,
you mean two guys.
Grohl, the guitar player, and that was a pretty phenomenal experience.
Yeah, Grohl's done pretty well for himself. And then I had Novoselic used to be part of this Get Rid of the Electoral College movement, and so we had my old producer here was a total commie, great guy, total commie, and he believed in that, and he had him in, we had him in the Brian Suit show at Cairo, and so I've known him for a while, and then he was friends with Kennedy, but anyway, best of luck you commies if you're good guys, so Kurt Cobain, what happened to the George Harrison, the cancer. How about that? How about ODing on cancer or something? Okay, well, we'll check in on the local news and stuff like this. I got to say, I don't remember this story. This woman who published a children's book about grief after she killed her husband in 2022. Do you remember hearing about this? It's Salt Lake City, Utah, a woman who authorities say fatally poisoned her husband in 2022, then published a children's book about grief, now faces another attempted murder charge for allegedly drugging him weeks earlier on Valentine's Day. The chilling case of a once-beloved author accused of profiting off her own violent crime has captivated true crime enthusiasts in the year since she was arrested for her husband's murder. I think the Brian Koberger Moscow slashings, I think, sort of overshadowed this for Mountain West murders. She had self-published Are You With Me, an illustrated storybook about a father with angel wings watching over his young son after passing away because she killed him. So anyway, are they adding a new appendix, a new epilogue to that book, I hope? Probably not on shelves there. We'll get the latest and update on the ISIS sympathizer arrested in Coeur d'Alene this morning, or the announcement, the charges of this. I didn't hear when he was arrested, apparently Friday. And we'll check whether or not you can buy high cap magazines in Washington today, and more. And how bad was it if in 2022 Republicans were going to kill your kids? Well, we'll have an update on historians projecting their Trump derangement into the future right after this AM 770 KTTH.